Now, this week saw what was for many some rather remarkable news that North and South Korea intend to field a combined women's ice hockey team at the upcoming Winter Games, and that the two countries will actually march together under a single flag, the Korean unification flag. Now, given the bellicose saber-rattling that's been going on between North Korea and Washington, this did come as a surprise to many. But what are the real ramifications, if any, of such a move? Well, Dr. Bronwyn Dalton is director of the Masters of Not-for-Profit and Community Management program at UTS and also sits on the board of the Federal Department of Foreign Affairs Australia-Korean Foundation. Bronwyn, a very good morning.
Good morning.
Now, is this a very significant move for North and South Korea, or are we overstating it?
It's a significant move from Moon Jae-in, the president, to demonstrate that he is much more oriented around engagement than the United States. Normally, the United States and South Korean, North Korean policy are in lockstep, but this shows a rift between the two policies.
Now, a lot of people have suggested that this is a deliberate North Korean move to drive a wedge between Washington and Seoul.
Well, the South Korean government agreed to this, and it is consistent with Moon Jae-in's election platform, which was to try and engage with North Korea. They want talks to recommence and see communication and engagement as the path to denuclearization.
How long has it been since we saw talks between the two countries get this sort of, friendly?
Not since the Sunshine Policy under Kim Dae-jung, which was back in the 90s. There was an opportunity then to denuclearize under a deal to swap the nuclear facilities for massive amounts of aid. But that opportunity was sorely missed, and now we have a nuclear North Korea.
So I think the big focus many people have had is that this could lead to a denuclearisation of North Korea. I mean, we're seeing the opening round of talks as much as anything. Do you, as an observer of this, have a lot of confidence that this could be the start of something more detailed?
Sanctions aren't working, by saying that, I cannot see a scenario where North Korea would voluntarily give up nuclear weapons. Given that even under the heaviest sanctions on Earth, the North Koreans managed to accelerate their nuclear program faster than any country ever has in history, so the sanctions really have achieved nothing except perhaps hurt the actual North Korean people. So I think that engagement is the only option, but it will be an engagement with a nuclear state.
Now, Bronwyn, for a few people, and myself included, it was the first time I'd seen the unification flag of Korea, the blue and white. Obviously, with a bit of research, I see it's been used a few times. But the flag's interesting. I mean, you know, when we talk about the two countries talking, we don't necessarily think unification immediately.
One thing I've noticed, and I've been to North Korea several times, last 3 years ago, is the rhetoric around reunification is a lot stronger in North Korea. But years ago, when I lived in Seoul as a student, when you used to say cheers, you'd say, let's reunite. Now when I say it, everyone laughs at me as some old-fashioned. So basically, the South Koreans are not into the concept at all. They would rather not think about North Korea at all, and they don't really think of them as their brethren and desperate to embrace their country as well. They think of themselves very much in terms of being South Korean. Whereas the North Koreans still push the idea of one race and one country. So the reunification is much more an aim of the North Koreans rather than the South.
Interesting. Bronwyn, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem.